Liz would be very proud of me.
I am.
I am not going to put these weights in the right place.
I'm going to bring you a gold star.
Where?
Go ahead.
You ready? Okay. All right. Let's get this party started. Okay. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan.
Here.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Tiger.
Here.
And Supervisor Perez.
Not here. Okay. And next, item B, the approval of the summary proceedings for the August 16th, 2017 meeting. Motion? I'll make a motion. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Any changes?
I haven't read it.
So. All right.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Okay. All right.
Okay. 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 Good. Consent agenda. Correspondence filed with the commission.
None.
All right. Moving on. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. And if I could ask everybody to please turn your phones off or down so that they don't interrupt anybody. Start on the first table. Anything, John? Yes, you have to go up there.
My kid up doesn't work so good anymore.
Oh, if I could get into it.
Joan Payton, still the same. Just a quick, we were talking about it beforehand. I would like to suggest that you bring back the talk about changing to every other month, because as you can see, there are three of us that have come regularly, and I think it's because people are just, there's nothing going on and people are getting tired of coming. I think it might be better if we did it every other month. We might get more public interest.
Thank you.
Can I comment on that?
Absolutely.
You're on.
Am I on?
You're on.
Thank you, John. We talked about that briefly here. Last month, were you here last month?
Yeah, but you just kind of, I think, said we should talk about it.
Well, what my comment was is I think we should reinvent the commission. And so I challenged everybody to kind of come up with some great tasks that the commission could take on. You know, we've kind of met our overall task, which is creating a positive, proactive animal caring for shelter with a good director that hasn't left yet. please don't say anything. So, yeah, I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying, but I also see that we have a body of people here and an organization that could really do some positive things. And I don't have my notes right in front of me, but I made, oh, here we go. I do have it right smack in front of me. Some of the things I mentioned were addressing the African-American community, have the commissioners take a tour and meet with staff and see what's going on a more detailed basis. Talk about doing some long-term strategic planning. This no-kill collaborative is on its way. And collaborate with the city and other agencies. So anyway, I understand what you're saying. These are my ideas. If anybody else has any ideas and wants to address that, I'm game. I know that we did address it a few months back, and we got shot down during the summer. So, yeah.
Is this the holiday season?
It is the holiday season.
People are doing things.
Yeah.
Well, how do you set it out there?
Oh, absolutely.
This is usually,
okay.
This is kind of out of the way.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is for county people.
So maybe it can be brought up after.
So we're staff. This is the commission.
I don't know if we're doing it in December.
Participants slash spectators.
Right, I would say definitely.
Not a big deal. No reason to bother.
For January?
Yeah.
Are we going to discuss going dark in December?
Yes, we are. I was going to say, I thought I was jumping the gun.
I'll say it.
Amber's right on the ball. She picked up on that.
Okay, next table. Liz, you got anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't be a meeting if I didn't get it. My name is...
You're good.
You're good. It's on.
I am?
Yeah.
Oh, good. My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H. I'm a proud resident of the 5th Supervisorial District. And for many of you, this won't mean anything, but for Director Cullen and Supervisor Anderson and many of you, it will. I had the pleasure of attending today the retirement party for Denise Haynes, also known as Denise Sprague, who at one time was one of the revolving door directors. I mean, the comment before about Director Cullen staying, many of you know that there was a time when there was a new director like every 3 weeks. And Denise and I had worked together years before that at the Department of Human Services. And, you know, as with every director, there were supporters and complainers and all of that. But she finally, I've been encouraging her to do this for about 4 years, and so she finally decided to retire. She went through an interesting list. I mean, she talked for a long time. She had worked in 8 different departments.
Wow.
In the county and spent 33 years. And so I just thought those of you who knew her would be happy to know she is finally out of the wage slave business. And, you know, anyhow, thanks.
Thank you. All right. Continuing on that back table. Anybody?
Hello, my name is Stacy Justy Steffi, and I'm just here today to kind of observe, you know, how these meetings roll out, because I intend on planning a lot more, and I'm hoping you guys keep them monthly, because there's a lot of us that are hoping to become a lot more active in the community, in the county in specific. I just had 2 questions. I just wanted to know what it was looking like about getting some updated legislation on the books and taking a look at the current ones and filling those gaps that we have, because as a person that grew up in the county, we've got a big problem out there with strays and you know, people just not caring properly for their animals. And I also just wanted to follow up on a request that I had sent to Nick on October 31st about a very questionable-looking place out in Lamont that somebody actually purchased a dog from on Craigslist. And there's we have pictures that we've shown, and we're having a hard time finding out how we can kind of get some movement on this location, because it's a very, very questionable-looking area. And we were told that the person that actually picked up the dog from the location had to be the one to communicate with the shelter, which she's done so, but it's kind of seemed like there's a problem finding the exact location. So just trying to kind of follow up with that to see, because it has been a little bit over a month now and kind of not getting too many updates. So
what's your name again?
Stacy, and I'll spell my last name. It's J-I-S-C-H-K-E.
And you say you're with the group?
I'm sorry?
Are you with the group?
No. Okay. I'm not currently with the group. I'm just a concerned community.
Okay. And where do you live?
I currently live in the city, but I actually grew up in Northeast Bakersfield. I went to East High, and I grew up over there off of Scott Place, and kind of adjacent to the country club. So I've actually been helping a lot in the county lately, just helping people, pulling strays and taking them to fosters and rescues and things like that. But then we also, there's just a group of us people that are just everyday people trying to make a difference. And in talking, that's when we discovered this, what I like to call puppy mill in Lamont. And we just want to know kind of what what else can be done to kind of bring more awareness and possibly a solution to that.
You said legislation. Are you talking legislation or county ordinance?
Well, whatever that entails, like just basically looking at the codes and what we have and really kind of making something to where we can actually enforce these rules and make people be held accountable for all the dumping, all the trash bags, dogs we're finding. It's really messy out there. I don't know if you guys caught the piece earlier in the week or late last week with the one puppy that was caught, that was found dumped at Pioneer Park in a bag. Thankfully, she was still alive when they found her. She was found to have parvo. She's only 3 months old. On the way to the news conference, we found a dead dog in a trash bag at the park. It's a very occurring thing that's been happening, and I've sent emails to council members for the county. We have a whole list of all the dumping grounds. Most of them are actually in the county. So we just kind of want to bring more awareness to this, and we're willing to be, you know, out there on the grounds and helping, but we need to figure out how we can kind of, instead of just chasing our tails around, just trying to help here and there, really putting in place some solutions that are going to actually solve the problem and hold people accountable if they are to be caught for these crimes that they're committing.
Okay.
And making them crimes, really.
Nick, are you aware of what she's talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
It won't what?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
So, Stacy, right?
Yes.
Stacy did get a hold of me. I mean, it's a little bit more involved. There was pictures on social media of a piece of property, but where that piece of property was a little bit difficult. We had an address, but the address was not what was depicted in the photographs. There was nothing going on at that address. Contact had to be made with the reporting party again to try and arrange a meeting so that they can literally point out the property that it was. There is an ongoing investigation about it. Like you said, you had notified me of that property back in October. To actually locate a property has been most of the problem. Pictures of something that's happening is one thing, but being able to say that those pictures are this property are a different story altogether. It's not done with. It's an ongoing investigation. We're still looking into it. As far as changes to ordinances, you know, I think you have my contact information. If you have specific ideas of things that could be helped along, please feel free to shoot them to me. I'm more than willing to listen. We are looking at the ordinance, right? Actually, Commissioner Geary and myself are looking at some of the existing ordinances right now to figure out how. The problem that Stacy brought up is sort of the problem that Commissioner Geary and I have been discussing in their large parcels of property that are cordoned off and rents or leases being charged with not much documentation to be able to tie an owner to a particular animal. It's a problem. It's a problem that we've been facing for years. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to address it through the commercial animal facility permit process and try to expand some of those controls. And that's something that we're looking into now. So, I mean, but by all means, if anybody has ideas on ways that we can sort of get handles on those situations, please feel free.
We actually have a real estate agent who's willing to show the property, and she can make an appointment and show the actual property altogether because it's showing up as vacant, that particular area. And I know that it's been a problem with the woman who was there. Like, she feels that she has to go take a video. That's kind of what her direction, the direction she's been given. Maybe there's a little bit of a fear of going back out into that area alone and poking around, as she said, because it's a questionable area and it's remote. So we've tried to put some solutions into place to where we can get closer onto the property. So I just keep people told that it has to come from the person directly who saw it, and so we're trying to encourage this person now to follow through. But I mean, the pictures are there. She has the address. She listed out all of it. So it's like, kind of, can we take it from another angle? Can we go in through a code enforcement angle? Because obviously those shacks and the setup is not up to any kind of code whatsoever. So it just feels like if maybe there's not this angle we can take, what other angles can we take? Because there's always loopholes. So what loophole can we find that can allow us to further investigate this?
Having to be one that lives in Southeast Bakersfield and has for the last 33 years and has watched it kind of crumble around me, and the unfortunate thing, fires in Cottonwood is a perfect example. You know, you've got a whole lot of properties where people are maintaining animals on the properties. There's no residence. There's no water. There's nothing. They drive in with, you know, barrels of water in the back of their pickup truck to water their animals once or, you know, twice a week, and check on it periodically. And so it is an ongoing problem. And in large part, it is a code enforcement problem. My son kind of had it out with one of the code enforcement people last week because they're not doing their job on our part of town because they're afraid to go into some of these areas. And that's the unfortunate thing. So ultimately, we do have a lot of laws in place to deal with these issues, but the agencies need to be able to have the ability to go do it. And so ultimately, if it means they have to take a sheriff with them in certain areas, so be it. But ultimately, yeah, I think code enforcement is definitely somebody that needs to be notified if there's a question about the property's use.
Do you suggest that that's something that then we do, that can't be left for...
Ultimately, you know...
Since it's already been reported, like, to...
Well, it doesn't matter that it's been reported. You can certainly still report it to code enforcement, but it should come from the person that's actually witnessed it. You know,
right.
Otherwise it's hearsay, you know, you may have seen something, somebody told you something, it's, you know, 16 people down the road. So I know everybody wants to help and do things like that, but I think you have to be sensible and responsible about it, and ultimately the people that are involved truly should be the ones that are following through and making, you know, the reports on these types of things.
Back to your point about the dogs that have been found in that Pioneer Park area, and there are laws that exist that obviously make that illegal. You can't abandon an animal. You can't abandon a deceased animal on public property like that. Again, it's finding somebody to hold accountable that is the problem, not the existence of the laws. It's investigating and finding the people that are accountable for that. And rarely are we or law enforcement able to get enough information on somebody who may or may not have dumped a deceased or live animal. Very difficult. And it's very difficult to prove that it was their animal in the first place. That's why we kind of depend on information from the public, witnesses, to be able to say, I saw such and such do this on such and such a date, and and be able to give us that information, concrete information, the property that we're talking about, an address where we can visually see what was depicted in those pictures is what's most important. And whether it be the planning department or code enforcement or animal services, if we can't locate the property where it is allegedly going on, there's nothing that we can do. And we kind of can't go out to a general area and just start knocking on doors. I mean, there's probable cause laws and there's property laws. And I mean, we have to know within a pretty good degree of certainty where that occurred at. So I know that the issues that you told me with the reporting party were sort of some of the problems that we had, and I think she still is, or they are still in contact with our senior officer to try and meet up at a location to be able to say that is where I saw that. So that's why I meant by ongoing investigation. But I think you have my contact information. Feel free to contact and communicate with me directly, especially if you said you had somebody who was a real estate agent who might be willing to give us some information. Put them in contact with me.
I did. I had her. I gave her your contact information so I could follow up to see if she she did so.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nick, which officer is it? You said it's one of the senior officers as well.
Senior officer Suck.
Okay.
Okay. Last table. Danny?
I kind of have a follow-up question to that discussion between Stacy and Nick. As far as animal control being at the actual site in which the animals are currently being housed, has animal control been to that site yet, or has not been?
Been to the address that they thought it
but
was.
As far as actually seeing the animals that were shown in the photographs,
we have not seen them.
Animal control has not found that location yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
We've been to a property that we thought was the address, but like I said, it was not what was depicted in the photographs.
Right.
But we strongly believe that that property is out there.
Yeah.
We just need a better idea of where it is.
Right. That's clarification on that. I don't know. I don't want to go up to the podium, but whatever. Because I don't know what to say.
That's the first time I've been to the podium, actually.
You don't know what you're going to say?
No. First time for everything.
Mr. Radio Gun.
Right.
Thanks for letting me speak.
There's a microphone. I can hear.
Danny.
What's up, Dan?
Oh, Danny Spanks from Crab Radio, or Daniel Literal from...
That's right.
From the Dale.
Tip it up. There. There you go.
But I just want wanted to kind of back up the point that Stacy made, that she is a very active animal advocate here in Bakersfield in Kern County. And I consider myself one of those people as well. And there's a lot of people that are trying to do more than just talk and say things on Facebook and just make decisions based on Facebook and things you hear, you know, secondhand. There's a lot of people that crave knowledge and information about the things that animal control goes through on a daily, weekly, monthly, ongoing basis. Some of the obstacles that they, have to deal with, for example, you know, locating property. And, you know, sometimes the public's perception of what animal control does or does not do is inaccurate. And I've, you know, felt for a long time that educating the public or maybe just those very active people in the world of, you know, animal welfare and advocacy, that would go a long way. So, you know, I don't have the answer, but if there's some way to maybe, I don't know if it's like an ongoing thing or a one-time thing, of giving animal advocates or people that have questions, you know, kind of like an open forum to talk about maybe particular situations or maybe hypothetical situations that have come up, and have, you know, animal control be able to say, well, you know, we had a situation similar to this, and we weren't able to do something because of this situation. And maybe it has to do with the actual situation on site. Maybe it's an issue as far as the laws are concerned, like what Stacy was, you know, asking about and wanting to do something about. But I just think maybe if there's some way to have, just more conversation and more education to the public made available as far as, you know, real, actual, you know, situations that animal control deals with, and also that the public, you know, wants dealt with, but, you know, don't feel that it's handled in the way that they think is appropriate. So, again, I don't have the answer, but, you know, I think it would be great. And I know these meetings, I mean, the whole reason I come to these meetings, ever since I found out about them, was so I could get firsthand information from the director of the shelter. You know, it's like, here's your chance to talk to the guy that runs Kern County Animal Services. If you have a question, if Stacy has a question, she can come here every month and ask Nick a question, and he will give her an answer. I've seen it over and over and over again. Sometimes there's, you know, situations where, you know, maybe, you know, you're not allowed to give all the information, but at least you're given the opportunity to ask the question. And I will also say, I think that's one of the great things about county. And I mentioned this before, this discussion about whether to do this once a month or every 2 months or whatever. It's like things, you know, can happen pretty quickly and people have questions. And if some situation comes up tomorrow, you know, and somebody says, you know what, you know, maybe you should, you know, ask Nick about it. What happened to wait for 2 months? You know, it's like that's, I think that's one of the great things is once a month you have the opportunity to come here and either A, become educated about situations that animal control deals with, or, you know, ask a question yourself. So I'm rambling, and I'm going to shut up.
Thank you, Danny.
You're not rambling.
So, Danny, do you not think this is the correct forum for that, and there should be something separate?
I don't know. I think, I mean, you know, according to the rules, you're limited to 2 minutes, right?
According to the rules.
And, you know, I mean, and granted, the conversation with Stacy and Nick was a little longer than 2 minutes or whatever, but there are, you know, there are often, you know, situations or maybe discussions that just require more time than you really have here.
Sure.
You know, whether it's a question about, you know, animals being tethered or chained or, you know, animal welfare or, you know, hoarding situations or puppy mills or whatever, all these things. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Nick knows all the answers off the top of his head.
But, no.
But Nick doesn't have the ability to sit there and get on the phone or type an email with, you know, every person that, you know, maybe, you know, has a question or wants to have a longer conversation, maybe getting everybody in a room together or whatever.
I'm just trying to think of how that could be done and how that could
be addressed. Well, I will say that the commission has an email address. Questions can be sent to the commission's email address. Those questions are agendized. They're put on the agenda. The commission can decide whether to look at that email and determine whether it's something that should be on a future agenda for commission discussion. There is an avenue to do that. I think that's what it's there for. So
it's
I think
kind of a minor avenue, though. I mean, again, if someone writes us an email tomorrow, we don't see it for at least 3 weeks, or in this case, 7 weeks, because we'll be dark in December. So I understand what you're saying.
You know, maybe it's just like a, you know, again, I don't have the answer, but it's like, here are the most common complaints. When people are bitching about animal, sorry, when people are complaining about animal control, you know, it's probably like one of these four things. So maybe, you know, all right, all you people that want to, you know, complain about animal control and what they don't do or whatever, or what you think they should do, here's the list, and here's how things work. If you want something done, you know, here's how you go about doing it. Here's what's legal, here's what's not legal. You know, the difference between, like, you're talking about what animal control and code enforcement and all these different little things, I don't know the difference between all that stuff. And as far as the public goes, like, it's animal control's fault, you know. But just these little things, it's just like education mm-hmm. and conversation.
And I agree, education's always key.
Well, I think, and I would agree that this forum is, to some degree, created to address that. Stacy had an opportunity to come and bring up her issues, and here we are 20 minutes later, we're still talking about it, and obviously we all have a concern about it. But you're right, there probably could be an opportunity for broader discussion. I know at least once, maybe twice, we've had situations where meetings, everybody showed up, but we didn't have a quorum, and so we used that opportunity to just have an open question and answer, and that was about the time that there was some issues with planning and zoning and stuff, and I think we were here for another two and a half hours. Am I right?
Yes.
Do I remember that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a really useful time. So I agree with that, and so I think I put that on my list of things that the commission should address.
I do think that there's a, you know, that brings up a good point that the county's ITS department has been working on our department's website now for a year.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, that'll be done, and I know that we're always looking for content. And I think that those most common questions about investigations and cruelty and reporting cruelty and what we can and can't do is probably something that we should consider having its own dedicated page to explain some of that stuff. So,
and also, I mean, it's a two-way street. It's like if you know, Animal Control is willing to make the effort, you know, at this point in time, you know, it's like, you know, like what... Maybe front set. Sorry,
John.
I forgot. Liz is always here. I'm always here. She's always here. But as far as, you know, all of us, you know, means, you know, Stacy's here. But it's like people such as Stacy need to know that that they have to come forward as well. And they have to do their part. It's like you can't sit there and just talk and talk and talk, not be able to. Hey, okay, fine. You want a chance? Here's your meeting.
Which is,
you
know, why I turn off Facebook sometimes, because it makes me on the screen.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a ton of that bashing animal services. And, you know, there's some of it's legitimate. The majority of it is lack of understanding.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be nice to be able to create something like that, maybe even a Facebook page, you know. Go to this page, and here's a whole bunch of questions that are answered. Maybe that'll help you. But there's some people that just want to complain, you know, for the fun of it. I'm married to one of those, you know, just like to complain.
Nick, don't tell your officers I'm asking this question, but do you have a ride-along program?
It's not a program, but if we get a request, absolutely.
So a citizen could go out and spend the day riding with an animal control officer.
Yes.
Which would be very important.
Very eye-opening.
I think it's a good idea for people like Stacy, who want to learn more and ask questions on a one-on-one basis. Also, do this is make a request. So, I'm not looking at
that. You can make that through me if you care to. You know, I was going to address it up there, but the most common issue we see is people will report what they deem as animal cruelty, and they feel that those animals should be taken away. Property rights in the state of California are pretty strong. It takes a pretty high threshold of evidence for us to be able to be allowed to take someone's property from them. It's no different than law enforcement coming onto your property and taking your property. Most of the time, in order for us to take someone's animals from them, it has to be exigent, meaning the animal's life is in jeopardy. If we don't act right then and there and take those animals from them, they're going to die. So a lot of times the biggest complaint we get is I complained and those dogs are still on the property or those cats are still on the property.
You didn't do anything about it.
Right. So unless there is evidence that I can prove in court of law that animal was going to die if I did not act. And when we're talking about cruelty or alleged cruelty, it has to be exigent in order for us to act. A lot of the times, we're going to visit a property, we're going to issue notices, we're going to issue citations, we're going to come back a week later, then we're going to come back 3 weeks later, and then we're going to come back a month later. Because ultimately, if we're going to get to the point where we can take the animals from them, we have to determine or we have to illustrate that there was a pattern of behavior that they were not complying with orders given from an officer. So the biggest complaint we get is I complained and you did nothing about it. And that's not often the case. Rarely do we walk on a property and there is enough going on that we can take all the animals off the property. It's happened recently, but rarely does that happen.
Is that even when it comes to enforcing laws like breeding laws and things like that, that still falls into that section to where it's out of your hands because animals are deemed property? Or do we have any control on the local level to where our local laws then apply when we say, oh, this person doesn't have a breeder's license and they're breeding? So
we don't need a breeder's license.
There is no such thing as
a breeder's license. We have a commercial facility permit.
So that could be a possible gap in our ordinances that, you know.
But that doesn't prevent people from breeding like this.
Well, it might not, but it might. Have that in black and white, when you have gray rules and you don't have a yes or a no, that's when you have problems.
Well, that's an issue that we're bringing up with zoning. Zoning is going to be visiting that this next year.
So, Stacy, just to touch on that subject, because breeding permits and controls on breeding are a very sensitive subject.
Really hot topic.
They have been broached before, and there are people in the community that are reputable breeders that do not want any limits on breeding animals. So it's been approached before and has not been supported by the majority. Now, there are laws that limit breeding in Kern County, but none of those laws give me or my officers any authority to take anybody's animals from them.
Right. Okay.
They would be in violation, just like a planning or code enforcement officer. You're in violation of not having a permit to do what you're doing.
Right.
Here's a citation. But under no circumstances could I take someone's animals from them because they don't have a permit to do that. Now, the laws are pretty strict as far as when you need that permit. All you have to do is have one litter a year, and then anything beyond that, you need a permit to do to have any more litter. So it's pretty strict, and we do enforce that. But again, it's not something that we can go and say, you've had two litters, I'm taking your animals from.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that clarification.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know that they do have, if you take action, you just don't always know about it.
There's
a lot of stuff behind the scenes. There's an administrative hearing for seizure, for animal seizures that I've held. So there's a lot of stuff going on that is not out there in the media. So I hate it when they say you don't do anything. Because I hear that over and over.
Can I talk about that one section you just showed me?
Why isn't it out there?
As far as the administrative, well, it's open to the public.
Yeah, but then people, I mean, that's something that people don't know about. I mean, they would have to literally want to Google animal seizures in Bakersfield, California. Why isn't that like something that's just blasted to everybody?
So,
hey, man.
To answer your question, it doesn't happen right. So when we walk on a property, and let's say it is one of those circumstances where the conditions are so bad we can take the animals right then and there. 9 times out of 10, if we're seizing animals, it's not actually for the condition the animals are physically in. It's because of the living conditions that they're in, unsanitary conditions. That's what most often we're taking animals for. Occasionally, it's a failure or neglect, but most often it's living conditions, unsanitary conditions. When we seize those animals, there's a whole process that has to start. They have to be allowed a seizure hearing to get their animals back to determine whether or not it was a valid seizure to begin with. We have to obtain search warrants, evidence to get that search warrant. Once we get those animals are then property, and the shelter has to take care of those animals. There's a period of time where, because of the property laws don't address animals specifically, again, they treat animals just like they're inanimate objects, the person has a right to get that property back after a period of time if they don't pay fees, which most often they don't. It's very complicated, and then a case has to play out. At some point, if information is released on the condition of the animals, the behavior of the animals, who the owner was, where they were taken from, it jeopardizes any conviction that you may get. I've been sort of fighting with counsel, not this counsel, to try and publicize some of the conditions that we find these animals in, because I've seen other jurisdictions do that. And I think there's a way that we can do that without jeopardizing a case. But you got to be very cautious, because if the public sees an animal and sees the condition that it's in, they already make a determination of guilt or innocence, especially when we're dealing with animals nowadays. So it's a very difficult, touchy subject to try and publicize.
Well, I think it's cool that you even suggested that it's something that you're trying. Yeah. Like, if it ever got to that point, I think that would be, like, the coolest thing to see and share.
And you got to understand, as passionate as the public may be, and I tell you this from the bottom of my heart, my officers and my animal care workers are more passionate than you can imagine. And when they walk onto these properties and they see the conditions that the animals are in, there's nothing they want more than to hold somebody accountable. And they don't want to do anything to jeopardize that possibly happening. So they're even very scared and leery of releasing any photos or any information publicly that could jeopardize that. And then you got to understand, I know we're going a little long here. Then you got to understand, a lot of it's out of our hands, because you have a district attorney's office that has to accept the case and decide whether or not to charge for what we're bringing forward, and decide whether or not they have enough district attorneys to enforce animal cruelty in Kern County.
It's just like regular old BPD or Sheriff's Department. Any kind of case they go out on, you know, they have to treat each case as if it's going to court. So you don't hear about all that any more than you hear about...
So there's so much to what the general public sees as cruelty or neglect to actually be able to hold somebody accountable and take that animal from them. We do it all the time. There's reasons why we don't make it public. And even then, after, sometimes it's years before there is a conviction or some sort of adjudication. And by then, the media doesn't care.
Yeah.
So it's very complicated. Yeah.
I hope that
helped. Yeah. I have things I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not behind the scenes. It's good to know. I have a touchy relationship with animal control. You think all they do is euthanize dogs. I grew up being that person. You realize it's so much better to have a dog in a shelter than on the street. And being so involved in, like, pulling dogs off streets or cats lately. Look, I have so many people who find dogs and they're like, don't call animal control. I'm like, call animal control. They're so scared. And I'm just like, that is such a better option. I don't know. I wish I could, like, pay for a huge billboard, like,
well, have you seen
the shelters better than the street?
Have you seen the no kill herd?
Uh-huh, I have.
That's a start.
Yes, it is a start.
It's a coalition starting tomorrow.
That's
actually.
So cool. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right, I understand the
last table. Anybody else? All right, moving on. Staff announcements.
I get to talk again. and let me just say that, you know, being the director of the agency that's responsible for enforcement of cruelty laws to some extent, because law enforcement is equally responsible, not many people are willing to come down to the... I've had people contact me by phone and by email, and I implore them to come down to a commission hearing and learn more about what we can and can't do. Not many people will actually take that offer, so I applaud you for coming down, taking the time out of your Wednesday evening to join us.
That's, we were created for basically two reasons. One, to hear complaints and decide how to follow up, and two, to amend ordinances or write ordinances. That's our original primary objective. So you came to the right place. Cool.
The other thing to keep in mind is that we're still, as a department, working to fix a broken sheltering mechanism in the county to begin with. Mm-hmm. And we're on the verge of, we've made significant progress towards that, but there's still a lot of room for improvement in the county of Kern as far as animal welfare is concerned. I do think that sometimes we get a little forest before the trees, and we're hyper focused on what we see today, and sometimes we don't realize that we've come leaps and bounds in Kern County in the last 10 or 15 years. Yeah. Perfect example of that. And I'm just talking about the sheltering system, but I had spoken with Ms. Keogh and Ms. Sue Bennett of the Kern Humane Society about 2 years ago, because I wanted to know some of the history of Kern County and the problems that we face as far as animal welfare is concerned. And I was going through those documents just the other day. I'm 41 years old. I was born in 1976. In 1976, the county took in 29,000 animals. They destroyed 27,000 of those 29,000 animals. That was 41 years ago. This is 2017, and we're still dealing with the same problems that we did 41 years ago. Have we gotten much better at it? Yes. But this is a problem that has been existing for a very long time. And I think that to solve just the massive amount of animals to begin with is going to take more than, you know, just a year, and it's going to take more than just us. You know, it's going to take the community engagement like we're seeing, we're starting to see now. So just try to put that in perspective sometimes. You know? Okay. On to the director's report. The month of October saw 147 animals leave for rescue. Our foster program is still going strong. 106 animals entered the foster care program. Our foster coordinator just won another grant to go out to Austin, Texas, and learn about their barn cat program, their working cat program. For those of you who aren't aware, we've developed a barn cat or working cat program at the shelter. We've sent about 30 cats through that barn cat program, which, by the way, I will say, we developed a barn cat program, a working cat program, as a result of a seizure of about 110 cats. And that happened about 4 months ago. So just to give you an example, we do still go out there and take large numbers of animals, unfortunately. So Deanna will be traveling to Austin in January to learn more about Austin Pets Alive's barn cat program. Trap, neuter, release program. 6,574 cats have been altered through the TNR program since 2013. Vaccination clinic is going strong. And by the way, when we talk about community engagement, it's not just what does animal control do. I think that there's other things that community engagement means, and that's taking the information that you hear here and spreading it to people that you may know. That may not, and it's important stuff like vaccination clinics and letting people know that they can obtain vaccinations that keep their animal healthy for at a discounted rate every Wednesday night at the animal shelter. That sounds like it's not that important, but to get somebody to take the initiative to go and get their animal vaccinated is making them a more responsible pet owner than they were yesterday. And I think the more that we spread that word and tell them simple things like there's a voucher program at the county and that there's a TNR program and that there's a vaccinations for your dogs that you can get every Wednesday night between 5 and 6:30. That's information that the general public needs to know, not just, you know, my neighbor is abusing his dog or I think my neighbor is abusing his dog. I mean, I think we're trying to create a more responsible community for animals, and I think that all of this plays into that. Also, the month of October saw 470 animals leave for adoptions. Year-to-date, 4,538 animals have been adopted through the county. 30 cats were adopted from Petco in October. We did just wrap up our Halloween Hounds program. $40 dogs, $5 cats. Super successful. Our field services unit responded to a total of 1,457 calls for service. 32 dogs were returned to their owners in the field. 63 dogs were secured on property by ACOs, animal control officers, in the month of October. On the statistics side, I did want to point out we're all coming to year end. I think Commissioner Blackburn had called me just recently because we hadn't made as much progress this year in the area of euthanasia as we did last year. Which you're right. You'll see under outcomes for dogs, though, we've reduced euthanasia by almost 20% in dogs this year over last year. Cats, unfortunately, looks like it's increasing slightly. Now, that probably has a lot to do with some of the large-scale seizures we've seen. For some reason, it's been cats a lot this past year. Overall, euthanasia in dogs is down 20%. I think overall euthanasia is down pretty considerably. And that concludes the director's report. I would like to say that, we talk about no-kill a lot recently. I was talking to Commissioner Blackburn earlier this week, and the numbers seem like they're peaking, like we've gotten to a point where it's difficult to continue to save more lives because I think we've gotten to, you know, we're saving almost 70-some-odd percent of the animals that come to us, the alive animals that come to us, and at some point there's a percentage of the animals that are left that are either not adoptable for behavior reasons or just illness or injury. And then there's a percentage of sort of gray area animals that maybe need resources, they need training, they need one-on-one companionship to try to make them adoptable. I think that's the area that we're in right now, where the shelter may not have the resources, the ability, the time, the finances to save those animals from a shelter death. That's where this no-kill coalition comes in. We realize that we're at a point where we're going to need to reach out to the community and work with community partners in order to make up that difference of 30% of animals that are still being put down in shelters. So that's the no-kill coalition that we're putting together. The department worked to put together a steering committee. That steering committee consisted of two cat rescues, two dog rescues, and two spay and neuter organizations. And that steering committee kind of makes decisions, and Commissioner Madigan. That steering committee kind of makes decisions about events that we're going to do, about requirements that a committee coalition members will have to put on them. And we've developed our first meeting and invited most of the animal welfare community, the organizations that are doing the work, mostly nonprofits that are part of the county of Kern. And we're meeting tomorrow to start talking about how a no-kill coalition can be unfolded, what it'll do, what we hope to succeed with. And we're going to try to schedule, start working on some events that we can put together to get the community's awareness about what that means and sort of how we can accomplish that in Kern County. So we have that meeting tomorrow. I think there's a few of us in this room that will be there, so we'll see how it goes. Any questions?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Do you still sponsor events where you have someone from the community, someone from the animal shelter, going out to the schools and talking to kids about animals? Do you still sponsor anything like that?
There was a program. Goodness gracious, I can't remember what the program is. The PAWS program, Danny, is that what it is?
Pet Awareness Week for Students, is
yes. The last 2 years, we have participated in the PAWS program, as Dan said. Pet Awareness
Week for Students.
Week for Students.
It's a week-long course for third graders, and then at the end of the week on Friday, they have an assembly, and there's a kind of like a video and a dog mascot and a rescue dog and all that stuff. So if you like more information about it, I can.
Yes. So we do participate, but we also get requests occasionally from schools to come out and do presentations, and we do it all the time.
Oh, okay.
And if you know of a school that's interested in having the county come out and do your presentation, you're pretty familiar with it, I would just implore you to get a hold of me and we'll make that happen.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Director Coleman, thank you. And yes, we did have a conversation last week, and I did ask those questions. You're absolutely right. I was wondering why they were plateauing, and you gave me your answer. And you challenged me, and I'm going to challenge everybody here. You did. You said if there's one area that I could work in, it would be the fostering. And, think about how we can get more people to foster more animals. And when you look at the euthanasia comparisons, when you see, in particular, I key on the too young category, 1,200 animals being put down year to date because they're too young. Now that shouldn't happen, but it does happen. And so I'm going to challenge everyone here, and I'm going to do it probably every month that we meet, about trying to figure out a way to find a solution to putting down animals just because they're too young. And it's a fair question. You're absolutely right. I think that's an area that we need to work on.
Well, I think we also talked briefly about, and Commissioner Blackburn asked me how he can personally help us overcome a plateau. So when you're talking about a sheltering mechanism, there's short-term problems and long-term problems. Short-term problems are I have too many animals in the shelter and not enough homes. The long-term problem is there's just too many animals coming into the shelter. How do you stop the long-term problem? Those of us who have been doing this for a long time, the long-term solution is spay and neuter. Word of mouth that there is vouchers available to fix your animal is what we need people to do. I mean, there's still people that don't understand that they have pit bull in their backyard. If they're a county resident, they can come and get a voucher from me for free. Get their dog fixed for free. I still can't tell you how many pit bulls we still see. We put down 30% of the animals, the dogs that we put down are pit bulls. A staggering amount. I think it's more than that. It's 45%. almost half.
5%?
Wow. Far and away more than any other breed. So there's a breed program. So when we talk about what can I do to help, word of mouth. Make sure that individuals know that there's programs, if you're a county resident only, I'm not talking about the city, that you can come and take advantage of and get your animal fixed, because long-term solution, yes, foster is important, adopting is important, volunteering at the shelter is important, but spreading the word that there are programs available through the county to get your animal fixed, because that's what's going to fix the problem long-term.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Does that flyer come in Spanish?
Yes, we have one in Spanish as well.
Like at the shelter?
Can I make copies of it? Sure, absolutely.
Police street team and like pass them out? Is that like illegal?
If you so wish, sure.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't do it by myself, but I think there's a lot of communities that don't do this social media, and I have no idea who they are, and I don't speak the language, but I feel like if we could really like shove flyers out there.
Yeah, that's
the only thing I could think of being on the street of nobody. You know what I mean?
The caveat there is to make sure that it's only available to unincorporated county residents.
Right, so I'd only go to county areas, right? I just didn't know if that was a thing that we could do.
Sure. You can do whatever you want.
You're not saying you are animal services.
No.
There's a risk that you could accidentally say something incorrect or illegal.
Right.
So just be cautious.
No, it's just if you're interested, this opportunity or option is available. I don't think a lot of people know.
Try hard. For
right.
Sure.
No, I believe you.
Daniel?
I had one question regarding the flyer. Someone had brought this up. I didn't know if this is true or false. Is licensing the pet required as part of that free spay or neuter?
No, it is not.
No, it is not. Okay.
And there's no income verification either.
Gotcha.
In some communities, they send information out through bills. Mm-hmm. And I just know that Bear Valley does that, but that's a different type of community. Is there any way to send stuff like this out through, the electric company?
It's something we could consider. I know that the biggest sort of bang for our buck, our response we've gotten so far, is we did a backpack drop in Lamont.
Schools, yeah.
And 600 or 700 flyers went out through the schools in Lamont. We got a massive response.
Oh, in addition, our spay neuter information goes out with information through DHS.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're targeting
the lower income.
Our target market.
Yeah. Okay. Now, regarding the two young issues, I know this is Commissioner Boyle's turn to talk, but
yeah, it was.
Friends was working on a program to purchase a trailer for the neonates. Do you know anything about that?
There was a talk of a kitten nursery at one point. Yeah.
Okay, but that's not in the works at this point.
Not that I know of. It got pretty complicated.
Okay.
Continuing with my observation, Jeff George isn't here. The volunteer hours, 28-23 for the month of October, is excellent. 4 years ago when I became a commissioner, we were doing like 500 or 600 maybe. That was considered a good month. And now we're up to 2,800, so that's phenomenal on the part of Jeff and, his boss. So I think it's excellent. As far as the TNR program, 6574 through October 17th, is there another $250,000 that the supervisors are going to be funding for the next fiscal year that we know
about? Commissioner Blackburn is talking about the spay-neuter funding for the department. So right. That money is no longer in contingencies, appropriations for contingencies. That means that it's not up for debate every year whether it's given.
Okay.
It's built into the department's budget. So it doesn't go... It's part of our budget.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
So, whereas prior to last year, each year it had to be appropriate.
Okay, so it's part of your budget.
Now it's built into the department's budget.
Good.
So that there is no question whether or not that money will be there.
Okay. So I was wondering, since we've made, neutered quite a few animals, cats in particular, and Critters Without Litters have done 44,000 in 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's still amazing to see, like in this case for the cats, year-to-date total is 200 more on the cats this year than last year. So are you stepping up the trapping to improve those totals? I'm not really sure how you I've never been on a GNR patrol. I mean, I don't know how you do it. Are you?
We don't do anything.
No, they bring them, chief.
Yeah,
they bring them.
Public brings those.
I know you had traps out at Hart Park or what? I didn't know. Okay,
no, we don't. Cat people do that.
Okay. Yeah.
And by the way, the cat people, the animals out at Hart Park, just to point this out, the cat people do not take. They don't use county programs to fix those cats out at Hart Park. They use their own money. That
okay. I also noticed the dogs fared better, as you mentioned, than the cats over the course of the year. The euthanized on the dogs are down 16 to 20%, something like that. The cats are up a little bit, but making progress on the dog part is good. Adoption is up on dogs by 200. I was wondering about this. On others, return to owner, you had a 1,428% increase on return to owner. What animal would that be?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It could be.
Went from 7 to 106.
It could be reptiles, it could be equine, it could be.
Okay.
I probably know it's just escaping.
I was just curious because I thought that's a crazy improvement. Mm-hmm. And also with Petco. Mm-hmm. I was in there on Tuesday, and the cubbies were empty. Do you make two trips down there a week, or is it just one, or how do they do that?
We deliver animals whenever they tell us there's empty cubbies, but those cubbies aren't all ours anymore. They're shared with several different organizations.
Is more than one party?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
okay. Whoever, they were empty. So I noticed that 30 is good, but... if they're empty, they could. They're someone's missing an opportunity on maybe placing more. And I think those are my comments at this point. Thank you very much.
One other question. I know on some of the things you needed help with. Liz, you guys are working on the retention training program,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
When?
With the OTC.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll start it next year.
Perfect. Okay, so that's one more tool in the toolbox. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Thank you.
Anything else? Did you guys get a copy of the TNR report up in the front?
No.
Because usually I'm the one that puts it on your desk, and I didn't.
Well, shame on you.
There you go.
That's a thing.
So there are spay neuter reports in the back if you need to get one on the table. By the way, I am Blake Smith. I am the business manager, aka BDI Bean Counter, and I am here to talk to you about the spay neuter funding of $250,000 that the director mentioned to you earlier. To identify where we are, and there's some things of note from the last time. So we continue to utilize the funding quickly. We're at as of the end of October, we've utilized 46% of the funding I set aside for TNR. The funding on this isn't set in stone anywhere. I can play with it and move it around. The important thing is that we utilize all $250,000, but we're going through this money quite very quickly. We're planning our World Spay Day event. That'll be in February. Last year we did 120 surgeries or something in one day, so we were able to take care of that. So we implemented a new program this month called Save Your Pitties. We talked about the fact that the most likely dog to be euthanized in our shelters is pit bulls. And if I could wave a magic wand and accomplish anything, it would make the breeding of pit bulls illegal, at least for a moratorium of 5 years or so, so that we could get that under control. But I don't. Alas, my magic wand doesn't work anymore. We started this on October the 16th. We issued our first vouchers, and two of them have been redeemed. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction. And hopefully by the end of next month, I think we've issued 60 vouchers between the 30-day period beginning October the 16th. So we've issued approximately 60 vouchers. And if their redemption rate is as good as the others, well, you know, we have an 84% redemption rate on our spay-neuter vouchers, which is excellent. And so, you know, if we can do that well with our Save the Pitties, we'll get somewhere soon. Marley's Mutts is up and running for doing outlying area surgeries. They are an absolute godsend for us because they can take their volunteers out and go to Taft and Boron and Mojave and all of these places out there in the middle of nowhere, and they work with veterinarians who take mobile units out to those places. And so, you know, they're helping us out tremendously. We're doing good. We're right on track. We also got, in addition to the $250,000, we applied for and received a food and agricultural grant, and we are using that to do to targeting the Kern River Valley area, and we will have completely utilized that funding by Sunday at the rate we're going. So we're moving ahead with that. And when we exceed the $250,000 that we've been given, we have a trust, I call it the trust fund amount. So when you license your dogs, we take 10% of the licensing revenue and we put it in a trust fund, and we use that funding for our to enhance our spay-neuter program. It used to be that was our spay-neuter program, and now it's a small enhancement to that. So, are there any questions?
Good job.
Legs.
Get
that magic wand
fixed. Mm-hmm. See what I can do.
All right. On to commissioner announcements.
We need to do a receive and file for the...
Oh, I'm sorry. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Done deal. All right, we'll start at this end of the table.
I got a couple things.
Okay, go
for it. Hello and welcome to everybody here in the audience. I know last month we had quite a few people from BC, and I see you smiling. So everybody from BC, please raise your hand.
All right. Welcome.
Okay, good. Were any of you here last month? Oh, that's too bad. That's not a good sign. You don't want to come back to the stats. Was there any kind of report from the students from the last meeting to your class on what we do here? Or is that why you're here? Was there any discussion or anything done by the teacher that said, hey, you got to go if you haven't been? Anybody have any comments?
My professor just told us we should come to the meetings. Like, the animal control, you mentioned it a lot. So I was like, this sounds interesting. I should check it out.
Well, we'll tell you what we told them last month. We're the fun group.
Okay, so you go to a government meeting if this is the one. So you're required to do this for your class. But you only have to go once.
Yeah.
Just one time.
There it is.
These are the procrastinators. The report's due tomorrow, right?
I guess right. I didn't hear the comment, so. Also, Blake, I wanted to thank you for giving me the contact information for Lamar. I had a 2-hour conversation with them because I represent a company that's probably going to be using them for billboards. So just so you know, I know that you paid $3,000 for the 6 billboards in June for 30 days. They've got a sale going from now until the 18th of December. If you want to do another 6 billboards for a month, they've dropped the price down to $2,000 plus production costs. And so if you have like 6 billboards, they want you to make 7 posters, they want to spare, as you probably know. So I don't know if there's money in the budget, but I thought if you're thinking about it, this is a golden time to do it. I think my company that I'm working with is probably going to do it. Mm-hmm. So thanks for the information and the contact on that.
As far as we're talking about ride-alongs, I've done two ride-alongs, and I'm overdue for my third. And it was an eye-opener for me because you really get to see some of the issues that they have going out, the logistic problems. I mean, you go out there way out in Lamont, you got to come all the way back in and drop the dogs off, and then it takes a while, and then you got to go all the way back out there. There's a lot of logistic problems going on. So if you ever do a ride-along, it really opens your eyes as to some of the
challenges,
and that's a good word for it, of being a field officer and some of the problems we have because we're so spread out and there's so many county islands. I did want to commend Nick in particular on the return to owner. I forgot to mention this. On the caps, you went from 18 to 42. I presume it's because of the chipping that's going on. Is the chipping paying off? Is that how you did getting the return to owner on the cats up so high?
Yes.
Do we still have the pet detective?
Yes.
We do? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then on the dogs, you went from 643 to 701 up 58, which is good. So to me, an animal is a member of the family. So anytime you can reunite an animal with their family, that's a huge thing. So I think that was it for me. Again, kudos on the volunteering. Thank you.
Okay, let me see. Emergency Preparedness Subcommittee.
No, we're still on.
Oh, wait.
Staff announcements.
Oh, I'm
saving our announcements.
Never mind. I'm saving our
okay.
Old business.
I just want to thank Nick for letting me help with the steering committee.
I can't do it without her at this point.
I just, like, bought my way in, you know. But anyway, it's actually eye-opening. I'm learning a lot. One of the main things we all are having to learn is to check our egos at the door, including me. but there's a lot of very motivated people, and I think this is going to be a really wonderful project.
Awesome. I just want to say, you know, I am so grateful that all of you, I know we all are, grateful that you come and that you contribute. And I do want to say that resources are finite. And so ultimately, if we have individuals that are out there doing things, to be have you involved and to come on board working in conjunction with the shelter and with the various groups and organizations that we already have in town would be of such benefit because resources are finite, and if we get too many people out there doing their own thing, it detracts from the things that we're trying to accomplish at a county level. So we welcome your input, and we want to see your involvement, and we really want to thank you guys all for coming this evening.
Sure.
Thank you. All right. I'll word it up for you. All right, old business. Staff referrals? Okay, what are you doing?
I
think
so.
Okay.
I'm on this
panel. You're up.
Okay. CCAT Central, Central California Animal Disaster Team, is having new volunteer training December 2nd up in Tehachapi at the Tehachapi Police Department, and Liz left, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
Okay, I gotta get hold of her because she didn't make it last time. So anybody who has any interest, please go to the CCAT, CCADT.org, and put your interest in. So we're doing that at the Tehachapi Police Department.
Flyers are in the back, too.
Pardon?
The flyers are in the back.
Oh, thank you. There's some flyers in the back if anyone's interested in going to this training. This training is a requirement to become a volunteer for this group. And we do have a couple of community leaders from the Kern Valley area, which is great because they want to get involved. They want to get involved and get prepared for, unfortunately, for the next fire. So anyway, we're moving along with that. And then the next item is the Livestock Containment Committee. Karen and I have talked a bit. I did get some information given to me by one of your officers. And it's the documents from UC Davis on livestock care. And also, I think it was the it was Sonoma, it wasn't the animal control ordinance, I don't have it with me, it was the zoning ordinance.
So we're still playing around with that, but after looking at the ordinance that you have right now on, when we were talking about earlier on...
commercial animal facility.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that we might want to look into revamping the whole thing rather than just focusing on livestock. And I don't know if we can do that now or if we should do one thing at a time, but this is just so vague and it doesn't have any teeth in it at all that I can tell. And I don't know if you're able, if you have been able to use it much.
Yes, we have.
You have? Do you think it has enough teeth in it to do...
I mean, there are some deficiencies in the commercial animal facility ordinance. One of the deficiencies is it doesn't specify what the offenses are citable as. So when we go out and cite for lack of a CAF permit, commercial animal facility permit, we cite as an infraction, but the court system is telling us they need it to be cited as a misdemeanor. But there is some confusion, and again, it's not specific enough what the offense is and what the first and second offenses can be, an infraction, misdemeanor, what level of enforcement.
I'm just thinking if we're gonna add on to that for livestock, for stables, that this may be the right time to revamp this as well, what's existing.
I think a good idea would be to get together a discussion with some of the senior officers and myself and maybe discuss what should be there that's not.
Okay. So, just from my understanding, are we going to expand the Livestock Containment Committee to kind of also include the commercial animal facility ordinance as all one discussion committee? I'm not volunteering, I'm just asking.
Mr. Packer's with me. I don't know. Do you want to talk about it at the beginning of the year?
I don't necessarily know. Maybe council can answer this, but I mean, I think that we developed a livestock containment committee. I don't think it matters whether or not it's specific about livestock, or can we just use that committee to rework the existing commercial animal facility permit language?
For what do you feel about that? Do we need to change the
committee? It would depend on what it was set up for. I wasn't here when it was set up, so I'm not real familiar with it. But if it was set up for a specific purpose, it has to be for that purpose only, and you'd have to set up another ad hoc committee for any other type of purpose.
So the original intent was there were some fires that devastated livestock in Bakersfield about a month ago, and there was some discussion about how we can prevent something like that from happening in the future. So they had deemed that subcommittee, the Livestock Containment Subcommittee. And the intent, like I said, was to rework the commercial animal facility ordinances to possibly include livestock. Mm-hmm. But what Commissioner Geary is saying is that she would like to not only expand it to include livestock, but maybe rework the existing ordinance to maybe make it a little bit stronger against dogs and cats and other animals.
So could we simply retitle it Animal Containment Committee?
Let me work with Jerry Bradley on it. She's your normal counsel.
Okay.
Let me talk to her about it and see what she thinks, and then I'll have a report back to you.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the meantime, we can say we're all in favor of that committee covering all those areas.
Well, we have to wait and see what council comes
back
to us.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to make sure that because the worst scenario is that you just have to create another committee to do the other portion of it.
Okay. Thank you. Yep.
That's
it. December.
Okay. All righty then. So we need to determine if we're going to go dark for next month or not.
I go dark.
I guess. She guesses.
Okay,
yeah,
so I don't like it, but I don't know.
I need a motion.
I need to make a motion to go dark in December.
I second that.
All in favor? Any opposed?
I abstain.
All right, so I guess we will bypass December and see all of you in January. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you all. Have a wonderful